Force Company, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Welcome back in. Second hour, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, jamming out right now.
Feeling it.
Taking Smokey in the last segment as the best mascot in college sports.
Now, Vols fans, you can't come after me. I did y'all a nice service here, all right? He's a good mascot.
You're just buttering them up so you can crush their hearts later in the show.
I love Rocky Top. I have no problem with it. It's a state song. I love it.
I showed you during the break when I went to Knoxville. We were losing at the time. They were playing Rocky Top. My two friends are, you know, Rocky Top. And then they pan over to me. I'm sitting on the steps just miserable.
They did you dirty.
They did me dirty, but
who's going to have the last laugh? Real question.
Who had the last laugh that day? I did.
This guy
did. Now, will I have the last laugh at the end of the season? That remains to be seen. I tend to believe no, but we'll see. Let's get into our question of the day. Jake Wallman asked, who is the biggest heel in all of sports? Before we give our answers, we have a few on the text line. Devin and Dixon on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Kyle Busch was the most hated man in NASCAR for 2 decades. Yes. Sean is behind me. Our friend Sean Mark says, go Gators. He's chomping. Yes, but...
Go back to your statement there, sir.
Kyle Busch from Devin and Dixon.
Yeah.
Biggest heel.
He's top 20. I mean, I'm not a big NASCAR guy, but I've heard and I've read places that he's top 20 for sure of being one of the dirtiest NASCAR drivers out there.
Yeah,
I do recall him getting in like an actual fist fight. I don't know if it was recently or a few years back. Somebody on the text line or call in, whatever. Just let me know if I'm right or wrong. I do recall seeing something about that.
Jim on our text line.
Oh boy,
Gymnasium.
Oh,
his
boy.
Name. Who I'm pretty sure I know who that is.
Interesting.
But he's given some good answers. Dennis Rodman was a heel with the Pistons and Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall Henderson from Ole Miss. I remember Marshall Henderson.
Yeah.
Richard Petty, absolute heel in the 70s.
Again, wasn't around in the 70s, but I do recall seeing video of Richard Petty. I would say borderline, not dirty, but more of like cheating in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like dirty, but more cheating. I don't know.
Some good answers. We'll continue to take them throughout the show.
May I real quick?
Yes.
Marshall Henderson. The texter mentioned Marshall Henderson out of Ole Miss.
Gymnasium has mentioned Marshall Henderson.
Marshall Henderson was an absolute menace to society, but yet that dude would hit threes like nobody's business. I don't know if you recall Marshall Henderson when he played for Ole Miss.
I was young.
I do. He was going to be my pick.
Really?
Yeah.
I was little when he played, but I do remember him by...
Absolute menace.
When Jake Lyman mentioned this as a possible question of the day, he was the first person that popped into my head because there's always that clip that ESPN will show of Ole Miss playing at Auburn and he hit some big shot, I think, to win the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he is like from me to these computers, just shaking his jersey in fans' faces. He was a menace to society.
Yeah, I was little for Marshall Henderson. Christian Laettner comes to mind for me.
Yeah,
I wasn't around for him, but they show that damn shot every year in '92. Laettner over Kentucky to advance to the national championship every year, and I've seen the documentaries on Laettner and
the E60s and so forth.
Another Duke white guy, Grayson Allen.
Yeah,
can't stand that guy.
Yep.
I feel like I should put some stipulations on this. Hmm. It can't be somebody that you just hate, but they're good at the game, like Tom Brady.
Yeah, we had a texter that said LeBron James.
I don't like LeBron.
I don't either, but...
I think it is what it is.
I think my ultimate answer would be Jack Golke, the kid out of Oakland last
he didn't even
year. No, he's a heel.
Was he a heel?
Oh, he's a heel. No, they asked him his bracket this year. He had Troy beating Kentucky in the first round. He said, well, they tend to lose to guys like us. I'm like, come on, man.
And last year after the game they won in the first round, the upset, they were like, we're not nobody's Cinderella. Well, that's double negative. We're not a Cinderella team. I remember him saying that.
When Calipari left, Golke sent out a video and said, hi, guys. figured I'd make a video since I'm the one responsible for all this. I'm like, no, you're not.
I love it.
I hate him.
I love stirring the pot. I believe when my grandfather was wrestling, he was a heel as well. So, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I've got a couple more heels in mind.
Go for it.
Lane Kiffin.
Yep. He's a heel.
He told, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. When he was at Tennessee, he told Alshon Jeffrey, when he was recruiting him, that if he went to South Carolina, he would end up pumping gas after college.
He did not end up pumping
gas. And he, in fact, did not end up pumping gas. Draymond Green is another one. I mean, that dude always finds something to stick his nose in.
I mean, he had a fist fight with his own player.
Yeah.
Or own player's teammates.
Yeah.
Pool party.
Yeah, that and practice.
Pool party.
Oh.
Jordan Poole.
That's crazy.
Bodied. Jeff on our text line says Bill Laimbeer.
Yep.
Former Piston. Watching The Last Dance fueled my hatred for the Bad Boy Pistons and that whole bunch.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, Bill Laimbeer. Just a bunch of dirty, dirty players.
But that was basketball back in the day, too. You got to remember. It's not your common.
It's grittier.
Yeah.
Like, hand-checking was legal, and
it's fun to watch.
It's by far the best era in basketball history, in the NBA history.
Yeah, I'd agree to that.
I mean, there are people that'll tell you, Michael Jordan's only great because he played against plumbers. Look at how many greats came out of that team.
I believe when I wasn't even born when this all happened, but all Michael Jordan's NBA finals that he went to, I mean, never lost.
Never lost. Same exact team.
Yeah.
Didn't have, you know, Scottie Pippen was an all-star. Dennis Rodman was an all-star. But he didn't need, you know, the Kevin Durants of the world or Kyrie Irvings. Or
after watching The Last Dance, it gave me more appreciation of him to the fact that, like, yeah.
I mean, he's the greatest.
In the off-season, we'd go back to work, like, immediately. I'm like, that's it. That's how you wire your brain to be a true champion.
I mean, they got to the point where he's in 89, he lost to the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe. And he took that hard. All off season, he trained and got ripped and worked on his shot. And
yes. Perfected the craft.
Perfected the craft. And they asked him why. And he said, I want to beat the Pistons. I don't want to lose to them again.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He beat them. I'm trying to think of football heels. I mean, Richard Sherman is a heel.
Yeah. Michael Crabtree.
Michael Crabtree, that whole promo.
Would LLB. Albert Haynesworth be considered a heel?
He's a heel if he's not on your team.
I think. I just remember when he stomped on that Cowboy player's face that time.
Yeah.
That was a bad look. Ndamukong Suh, that's another one.
Oh, yeah. Ndamukong Suh. DeMarcus Cousins for us. He was a heel if he wasn't on your team, but we at Kentucky loved him. Now we hate him because...
Would you consider Pac-Man Jones a heel?
Oh, yeah.
In some regard?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would consider him more of as just a guy that ran his mouth. I don't know about a heel, maybe.
You had a heel on the Vols a couple years ago. Uros Plosic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that dude was a big heel.
That dude was a heel. That dude was always...
That dude was just five free fouls. That's what that guy was.
I hope he's enjoying... playing in Serbia or wherever the hell he is.
Also, Devin and Dixon, thank you for clarifying the whole Kyle Busch fighting situation. He mentions there were a couple fights in recent years with Joey Logano and last year with Ricky Stenhouse. Yeah, I think that's the one I saw on TV was the Ricky Stenhouse fight. But Kyle Busch should join the WWE. I mean, big old heel.
How have we missed the biggest heel in college basketball right now?
Go ahead.
Dan Hurley.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The biggest heel. And I mean, did you see him last night? They're doing an official review. Dan Hurley moseys his way over to the monitor. The official pushes him away. I didn't do anything. And then they get him in the post-game interview, and they ask him, you know, how does it feel getting the monkey off your back, getting the first win? He goes, feels pretty normal to me, which I think is kind of a cool comment.
Wow.
Going to golf, a sport we haven't mentioned yet,
ooh.
Patrick Reed. Not a lot of heels in golf, but Patrick Reed
golf's
is one
not
that
a sport, it's a hobby.
Is a major heel.
I would say for golf, obviously there's the Live Golf PGA separation now, but to some degree, I'd say Rory McIlroy is a little bit. Obviously, he won the Players tournament this past, last Sunday, and I was telling this to Robbie Stanley actually about, you know, he took somebody's phone that was watching the tournament And apparently it was like some college golfer, and he walked away with the dude's phone, and he was asked about it in the post, I guess, post-round press conference. He goes, so did you know about the guy that, you know, you took his phone from? He goes, I'm just happy I shot a 67 in the second round, and did not acknowledge it at all. I was like, that is the biggest heel comment on planet Earth.
Ben on our text
line. I hope that guy got his phone back.
Maybe.
Ben on our text line had the same thought I had. Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. That was the next thing. I was going to say Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau when they had their big fallout between each other. I think it was, if they're golf fans that listen to the show, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know, DeChambeau and Koepka had a weird falling out to the point where they weren't going to talk to each other. And I think this was like around Ryder Cup of last year or 2 years ago. Please, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I do recall something like that. It was an absolute popcorn-worthy spectacle to watch.
I got one more.
Sure.
In the world of hockey, Matt Rempe.
Yes.
That dude, I mean, I don't think he's there to play hockey. I think he's just there to hit people.
It's fair.
As Big Joe says, he would do in college. Just hit people.
Just hit people. Let's see. What about Brad Marchand?
Oh, yeah. I'd take Brad Marchand. Jordan Binnington, I think, is a heel. Locally, I would say Patrick Kane is a heel.
Who's a heel on the Nashville Predators? There are a lot of nice guys. Yeah. A lot of smiling faces on this Predators.
They're all soft, according to Jay Moore, from what he said the other day. Dude, he went off on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jay.
You got to go back and listen to that.
Love Jay Moore.
Who on the Predators would be? I mean, we had Jeremy Lauzon, who would just hit people.
Yeah.
He's shelved for the year.
It's tough.
Yeah. Maybe Jonathan Marchessault?
Maybe. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty close to heel-worthy.
Maybe Ryan O'Reilly?
Nah.
I wouldn't classify him as a heel. I just think he's so hard on himself.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one in the break.
Yeah.
That's tough. Preds, I think I would say, tough.
Steven Stamkos is, I'd say he's a babyface, but a lot of people in Tampa Bay, not a fan of him.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely a heel to Tampa Bay fans for sure, but. I mean, that's untampled.
The biggest heel to the Predators, Taves.
Jonathan Taves.
Yeah, Jonathan Taves. Sidney Crosby, too.
Yep, Sid the Kid. I'm trying to think some other ones that just kind of escaped my brain.
It'll come to me in the break, I'm sure. When we come back, let's get back into the madness. We have broke down round one.
Mm-hmm.
Round two starts today. Got some good matchups today.
Indeed, Florida-UConn.
Florida, there's one particularly.
Well, not today, but like, you know, that's the next matchup.
There is one particularly today that I am amped for. We'll get to that next. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This fire me up right now. I love this. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Do I have any reads to do? No, I don't. Okay. Round two of March Madness begins in about 45 minutes or so.
Let's do it.
Right as we get off the air. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm so ready I could get a tattoo.
You want a tattoo?
I don't know. My grandmother, she'd kill me.
Do you have a tramp stamp?
No.
Okay.
Of the Loch Ness Monster? Maybe. No.
Okay. I got a butterfly on my left.
Interesting. I feel like that'd be a funny tramp stamp if you just had the Loch Ness Monster. It was in the movie Mall Cop with Paul Blart.
Yeah, Paul Blart.
The Loch Ness Monster back in. That's hilarious.
That was a How I Met Your Mother joke. Ted goes out and gets drunk, and then he wakes up the next day, and he's got a butterfly tattoo on his left cheek. That's a good show.
I got a story for you off the air, I'll tell you.
You'd like that show a lot. Good matchups today. There's one that comes to my mind immediately. As not just a Kentucky guy, but just a college basketball fan, Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks taking on Rick Pitino and the St. John's Red Storm. I call them the Johnnies, but they're technically the Red Storm. Does the Calipari curse finally take effect? It is still the first weekend. It is still liable to happen. I venture to say, yeah, it's going to happen. I think Rick Pitino is the best coach in this sport right now. And I think he just play a 2-3 zone. Calipari can't handle it.
Don Pitino. I'm going to start calling him Don Pitino. He's no longer Coach Pitino. He's Don Pitino. This guy, he's got St. John's playing good basketball. 31-4. I mean, going up against a team.
One of the best defensive teams in the nation.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Calipari has a really good resume when it comes to just the grand scheme of college basketball. But as for this season, They just struggled in SEC play. I'd say struggled a tad bit in the SEC tournament, but then they caught a little bit of a groove, and now, boom. They're it's only one game into the NCAA tournament, but they look like a different team in the first round. Arkansas did, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And now going up against St. John's, you feel like there's a good gap in between just talent.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say so?
I'd say so. I think it was more so Kansas lost than Arkansas won that first game. Because, I mean, Kansas, it was back and forth the entire game. Kansas had a three-point lead, and then I think it was six straight turnovers.
Yeah.
And they just lost. I think what I'm more excited about for this game is not just the basketball aspect, but the fact that these two cannot stand each other. It goes back to the old Kentucky and Louisville days. You know, Calipari always, it was always a gritty battle between them, actually. There was one year Louisville won a national championship with an asterisk. Doesn't count anymore. It's gone for reasons I can't say.
Vacated.
Doesn't exist. But I think the Kentucky-Louisville rivalry really made them hate each other, and now I think it's just
rekindled
a grudge that's kind of been swept under the rug. And now that they're both coaching basketball at the same time, two powerhouse programs,
sports cinema.
That's
exactly what it
is. I'm thankful the basketball gods gave us this game.
Yeah, I'm with you,
but I like St. John's. I think I have them in the Elite Eight, actually.
Yeah, I think Elite Eight is how far I got them going. I wanted to take them Final Four.
They run into Florida, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
I got Florida winning it all.
I have a big buddy of mine that's a huge Florida fan that obviously I'm not saying that they're going to win the whole thing. They might. Everybody in the nation has Florida winning this tournament. I don't want to solely put all my chips on Florida to win it all. I think there's a team out there that might upset them.
Yeah. It's just their side of the bracket. Like,
I mean, they have a good little run for them. Like, they can take care of business.
There's three teams on their side I think they could get. Hi, Joe. Auburn, I think, could take them down. Michigan State.
Yeah.
I saw MSU.
That's who I have one in my bracket.
And then St. John's. I think they could do it.
Okay.
Other matchup today. I told you earlier, my twin plays in Rupp Arena today. Ryan Kalkbrenner and the Creighton Blue Jays taking on Auburn. I have had people reach out to me all week saying, hey, have you been told that you look just like the kid on Creighton? And I'm like, yeah, for years. We had the same haircut, same body build. We moved the same. It's pretty uncanny, actually.
This guy's from St. Louis. I like this kid already.
He's a Cardinal. He's a Cardinal. As far as that matchup is concerned, I don't know. I think this is a sneaky one. If Creighton plays the way they played against Louisville and Auburn plays the way they played against Alabama State in that first half, things could get interesting.
Yeah, and that brings me back to the comments that we made about the SEC and their, I guess, letter grade. Like, I gave them a C-. That's another reason why I gave Auburn, or not Auburn, but the SEC as a whole a C-, because I don't think Auburn gets past Creighton. Wow. I'm a man that loves upsets. And this 9-1 matchup, like you said, if Creighton plays the way they did the first round against Louisville, Auburn's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just rely on Broom the whole entire game.
I love Greg McDermott. I think he's a great coach. I think he's very offensive-minded, recruits guards that can shoot, recruits solid post presence with Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's just great shot blocker and great offensive post score. I just can't bet against Auburn. Right now, the way they've been playing, I think Janiah Broome matches up well with Kalkbrenner. I think Auburn is going to get it done. But I'm not saying it can't get interesting. I think it could be close.
I don't know, man. I'm still leaning towards the Blue Jays. That first-round performance by the Blue Jays, and see, some may say, and obviously you hear Jared talking about the Louisville Cardinals, they're just glad they made it to the tournament. Yeah, hopefully they're in a good direction. For me, I think Louisville just, they were outplayed. On so many different levels.
They were absolutely outplayed. And I think that's a testament to their season. A lot of Louisville fans were complaining we were underseeded. And rightfully so. Maybe you are. Mm-hmm. They should have been like a 5. But who did they play? Name one resume win they had.
I can't.
Exactly. I mean, I think they beat Clemson. who was also out in the first round.
So. They lost to McNeese State. Yeah, but say, wait a minute now.
That's, I mean.
You're going to have your frauds every now and then, especially.
Fraudulent. It's the ACC, man. Never trust the ACC.
Maybe the SEC as well. Maybe.
Maybe. McNeese State, speaking to them in action today, taking on Purdue. I kind of like McNeese State to get it done.
I do too. Their manager, his name is Amir Khan.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He comes out with the nice.
Seeing
little,
this guy, I think he's the first manager in history to get an NIL deal.
I mean, it's incredible.
He's hilarious.
His little boom box he comes out with is being sponsored by all these different companies. I think last game it was Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm just like, wow.
This guy. The cheerleaders had socks of his face on it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Amir Khan, man.
But I like Will Wade and
the aura, as they call
what is,
it.
What is McNeese's mascot?
Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so. Because they say pony up and saddle up and all that
okay.
stuff. Yeah.
I like the Cowboys to get it done. I have Purdue winning, but based on how they played the other day,
I'm on McNeese State. I think they're one of the three other teams that are Cinderellas in this tournament. And I think two of the three Cinderellas end up going on to the next round. I'm in on McNeese State. I'm in on Drake. And crazy enough, I know this is not a Cinderella, but they're a lower-seeded team at 7. I'm in on UCLA. I think they beat Tennessee today.
Mm. That is in action tonight at 8:20.
Mm.
You can go watch that on CBS, I think.
Yeah.
But I will be here watching it with Christian Skelton, friend of the show, Big Vol, and hopefully laughing at him by the end of the night. But
hopefully he didn't hurt himself.
I think I want to get into this more on the other side. I disagree with you.
About?
I think Tennessee and Kentucky in the Sweet 16 is a probability.
Oh, boy. Point. Oh, boy.
Let's talk about it on the other side.
Please.
Coming up, we'll talk about that coming up next. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Forest Company brought to you by LPL Financial. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. Welcome back in. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass. And like we said the last segment, we're going to have a little debate here, you and I. You say UCLA is getting the win over Tennessee, UCLA. I call him UCLA
because
it's funny. I think Kentucky and Tennessee is most likely a probability in the Sweet 16. And begin.
Well, this is where I start with all this. UCLA, obviously, playing out west. The competition's not as great as the SEC. But, like I said before in the show, UCLA performs better in games that matter. And that's the
they show up in March.
And that, yeah, they show up in March. Obviously, this is a 5.5-point favorite for Tennessee on the spread there. But, I mean, besides that, numbers are numbers. It's about who wants it more, and I think UCLA wants it more. Obviously, Tennessee, too, has the big issues of Zakai Ziegler. Can he get off to a hot start? Obviously, Wallman's mentioned before. We talked about it off the air when they went up against Florida in the SEC Championship. If Tennessee can get off to a hot start, I think they'll be able to command the game. And to be honest with you, my gut's telling me something. It's I don't think Tennessee gets off to a hot start. I don't think they get off on the front foot. And if that's the case, UCLA starts out-rebounding them, and then they end up getting transition points, just capitalizing on every single missed shot Tennessee has. I'm not saying Tennessee is going to score 3 points like Georgia did. You know, I'm talking about they only scored 3 points in the first 10 minutes of the first half, I think yesterday, the day before. So I think Tennessee does play to the degree of making it competitive, but I don't think they play enough, I guess, well enough to win the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like this is Tennessee's to lose at this point. I don't think they're the best team in the nation, but I think they have a favorable draw in this region up until the Sweet 16, similar to Kentucky.
Right.
Although I'm kind of fearful of Illinois. Did I show you this? I was circling my bracket as you do when you win.
Uh-huh.
When Kentucky won, I got too excited and accidentally circled them for the round of 32.
Oh, my.
So we may be screwed. If they lose, it's my fault. I apologize to the Big Blue Nation. The basketball gods have already given us St. John and Arkansas.
Yeah.
What we wanted to see. I am praying they do not give us this game because I don't want to play Tennessee again.
I don't think it's going to happen, man. My bracket forecast, just looking at it, UCLA takes Tennessee down. They go on to the next round and take on Kentucky. I told you at the beginning of the show, I think Kentucky is one of those teams that you kind of got to buy a little stock into because it'd be UCLA versus Kentucky.
Those boys are playing for Pope. Go watch the press conference.
Yes.
Which was phenomenal. Pope said, you know, this is, he's Mormon, obviously, but it's kind of an allegory of life. God has a plan for us. We are exactly where we're supposed to be, right when we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Win or lose, this is the most fun I've ever had coaching. This is the best team I've ever coached. And I was like, I'm going to cry. What are your thoughts on Kentucky and Illinois?
It'll be interesting. You know the game where Tennessee, it was the beginning of the season, Tennessee won like on a buzzer beater layup against Illinois?
On the road
Champaign. That's the kind of feeling I have for this Kentucky-Illinois game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be
back and forth.
Back and forth, pretty tight. It's just a matter of who's going to capitalize on the perimeter of the shooting. That I think that's where you're going to see the separation of the game.
I think I'd rather lose to Illinois in the second round than lose to Tennessee in the Sweet 16.
Really?
I couldn't do it. I don't think I would be able to come to work.
I'm at a loss of words right now.
You're biased, by the way, now, according to the text line.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the bias. I'm confused right now with your comments because you'd rather lose to Illinois in the second round than lose to Tennessee in the third round. I get, you know, you don't want to lose to Tennessee. I get that. But, like, the further you go in the tournament, the more, I guess, the resume adds to Mark Pope. Don't you want the resume to be good for a new coach at Kentucky? Don't you want to have that extra up of like, oh, Sweet 16, that'd be great to be in there with Mark Pope.
Sweet 16, I would absolutely love for Mark Pope. I'm saying this from more of a fan perspective.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to deal with the whole Vols. Well, we got the one that mattered when, I mean, they've been beaten 2 out of 3.
Right.
It's just, it would be so frustrating. And I'm sure Vols fans the other way feel the same, you know, going into this game. We lost to Kentucky 3 times in a row. We're supposed to own them, which, first of all, you don't. There has been no decade in the history of basketball where Kentucky has not led the series.
Look at this guy licking his chops behind the glass over here. He's ready.
He's ready. He's fired up.
You're ready to just pounce on me, aren't you? Your face is turning red. You don't like the comments I'm making about Tennessee.
Neither does the text line, by the way.
I wouldn't say I'm ready to pounce.
I'm the heel right now to Tennessee sports. Apparently,
it's funny that you guys bring up, you know, who would Connor rather play, Illinois or who would you rather lose to? I guess Illinois or Tennessee. I was listening to a reaction show from Tennessee's game after they played Wofford, and that was one of the questions was, who would you rather play, Illinois or Kentucky? Because Tennessee has seen both sides of the coin. You know, they had that buzzer-beater layup against Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, playing them on a neutral court, I think maybe gives Illinois a little bit more of the edge. But I would also really like to play Kentucky. Part of me would like a third shot at them, because despite them being a bad matchup, I feel like this team can beat Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know. I guess depending on what happens tonight, I will give my assessment tomorrow on where I'd rather be.
Okay. Interesting.
Right now, I'm only focused on UCLA.
UCLA. He's focused on UCLA. I don't know. My nerves won't be able to take a Sweet 16. I'll be excited. I'll be like, oh, we're in the Sweet 16. This team was not supposed to go that far. But I'll be like, oh, what if we lose to Tennessee? They will never shut up about it.
We'll see. We'll just have to see.
We'll see. Thoughts on other second round matchups? Got some good one. Ole Miss, Illinois, or Iowa State.
Yep.
That's going to be a good one.
Ole Miss is one of those teams, and we saw it yesterday against North Carolina. This game would be played tomorrow, but obviously North Carolina was one of those 11 seed teams that just wanted to just extend their resume, essentially. But, I mean, Ole Miss showed that they're the real deal, in my opinion. I think they're one of the teams that kind of shines out of the SEC, especially with their, I guess, forecast of the bracket. You go up against a team like Iowa State, which obviously Iowa State handed Lipscomb pretty handedly for the most part.
Well, I forgot the most important part of this segment that I filled out.
Oh, please.
What is your Final Four?
Oh, my Final Four. Well, let's give that a gander. I believe it was Florida, Duke, Michigan State, and the last team is escaping me, so I apologize.
McNeese State.
As much as I'd love for that to be, no. It's Michigan State, Florida, and Duke, My goodness. Sorry, everybody. This is a terrible radio. Let's see. Michigan State, Florida, and then Duke and Houston. Those are my final four.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not far off from you.
Really?
I have Michigan State, Florida, Bama, and Houston.
Ooh, Bama.
I got Bama taking down Duke.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think Alabama basically can score more points and just hope and just pray that they score more points than Duke? Because like we've talked about in shows past, they just don't play defense.
Yeah. No. Bama is, I've said this before, Bama is a team that they can drop 110 on you. Problem is they may give up 111 and lose.
Yeah.
So.
Because they let Robert Morris put up 81 the other day, which is wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like Bama is one of those teams that when they get hot, they get hot.
Yeah.
And they got Mark Sears, who, I mean, first team All-American, absolute superstar.
They had me worried yesterday when I was watching the game, like, because Robert Morris was hanging in there. It was like a 5-point game for the most part.
I was like, this is going to destroy my bracket.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I posted my bracket yesterday, and Big Joe slid up and said, no one cares. I don't know if he's still here. But
somewhere.
Jared had a big, big rant on
Jared
this the other day.
Jared does it every year, which I counter with, have fun, man. This is a bracket. You only get this once a year. Enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just enjoy
it.
I care about your bracket. You can send me your brackets.
Connor Newt will autograph them if need be.
I'll autograph them. I finished the first round 26-6, which is not bad.
It's pretty good.
Not bad at all. Let's get into picks coming up next. I literally wrote down pick 3 second round games.
Wonderful.
Because there's nothing else going on that anyone cares about.
I'm in for it.
We'll do it coming up next. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. She's back. She's returned. Forest Company, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. One final segment from us. Do quickly want to mention, I know we've been talking about basketball all day, but as of last night from Jordan Schultz, he put out there that the Vikings have had discussions with former Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill about a potential deal. He says talks are ongoing and nothing is imminent as of right now, but it is something that could get done. I like that move.
Yeah.
For the Vikings. That tells me they are not fully invested in J.J. McCarthy.
To be fair, J.J. McCarthy had a really good preseason last year before he got hurt. I believe I was watching the preseason game where he hurt his ACL, but there's hesitation there. There is hesitation
what they're doing
to
is,
let it loose.
I think he goes there, first of all. I think they're getting him a mentor with a similar play style as him. And I think Tannehill will start for a little bit, see how he does, and then we'll sit him and throw J.J. out there.
Well, to be fair, if the Vikings have a better offensive line than the Titans in years past, which it seems like it, because Sam Darnold had a pretty good year last year.
You may get your money's worth in Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill might be that guy that kind of is that, I wouldn't say stopgap quarterback, but he's your Sam Darnold replacement, your 2.0. I mean, your perfect systematic quarterback.
And cheaper, too. Because he'd probably be here on a one-year deal. Yeah. 1 year, you know, $11, $12 million.
And in the meantime, it gives... you know, the Vikings a little bit of opportunity to like, you know what, maybe, does anybody need a quarterback? Seems like people need a quarterback. J.J. McCarthy, hey, third round pick, whatever. We'll you want
or
him?
If you're the New England Patriots, you're trying to trade Joe Milton for a third round pick. seventh round draft pick is going to be traded for a
Titans third. Fans love Joe Milton for what he did in the final week of the season last year.
Go pay for him.
But
go get him.
A third round pick? Come on now.
I mean... He didn't do anything. I mean, he took down the Bills. He's the reason you got the number one pick.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Right. I have never said anything bad about Joe Milton ever.
But to your point, though, about Tannehill, I think it's a great fit. Like you're saying, I'm alluding to your point, I think he does sign there, too. If he's interested in coming back to the NFL, which, I mean, they're talking, so yeah.
Yeah, they're talking. Maybe he's bored. Maybe the golf course isn't treating him right.
Maybe he's done fishing.
Does he still live here, do you think?
Maybe.
I mean, I had a buddy who lived right down the street from him.
Really?
Yeah. I considered going and knocking on his door. Hey, Ryan.
DoorDash him some food.
I got your chicken tendies right here, Ryan. All right. Let's get into picks.
Please. Let's get into some picks.
Just pick 3 second round games. That's all I got to do.
You go ahead, Connor Newt. You're the one that's passionate about March Madness. You do it.
Okay.
Break the ice.
We'll start with the one we... hit hard earlier. St. John's in Arkansas. I'll preface this by saying, do not pick the same games as each other. Please.
Yes.
There's 16 games. We can handle this. Give me St. John's in Arkansas. I like Rick Pitino and the Johnnies to get it done. I think the Calipari curse strikes once again. Cal does not advance past the weekend.
Mm. What's your other two? Go ahead.
Oh, we're just rattling them off?
Yeah, might as well, right?
Yeah, give me Florida over UConn. I like Todd Golden and company. I heard a caller yesterday call him Clayton Walters Jr. Walter Clayton Jr.
Walter
Clayton. First team All-American. But I like Florida. I like Florida going all the way, actually. But I want Florida to send Crybaby Danny home. And then the other one, give me BYU over Wisconsin.
Wow, upset, huh?
This is the most white people you are ever going to see on a basketball court at the same time. And I think BYU gets it done.
Okay, interesting. As for myself, I'm going to go with, it's kind of chalk, but I'm going to go with Duke to beat Baylor. I'm pretty sour about Mississippi State losing in the first round, so Duke, just pummel Baylor, please, to like no end.
They will. Don't worry.
Other one I'm intrigued about, Michigan and Texas A&M.
Yeah, I thought about that one.
You know, we've talked all year for the most part that we think A&M's kind of some frauds, right?
Yeah. I got Michigan over them, too.
Yeah, so do I. I'm going to go Michigan on that one, and then I'll save that one for Wallman, but I'm going with Drake to beat Texas Tech today.
Hold on. I'm rescinding a pick. I forgot, we're not just taking games today.
And tomorrow, right?
Give me Kentucky over Illinois. I'll resend my UConn Florida pick.
There you go.
Give me Kentucky over Illinois.
Love that. Love that.
We got a call from New York. They said, hey.
Review.
Yeah. Gene Steratore chimed in. The rules analyst for everything. Can't wait to see Gene Steratore on women's pickleball coming up soon.
Easy now. Pickleball's the sport, hey, man.
There's one man here at this station I would fear playing pickleball, and that's Willie Donick.
I've heard.
He's a legend on that.
He's legit.
Jake Wallman, finish us out. Just give us three.
All righty. I'm going to go with my first game today. Doesn't start until 6 o'clock. Creighton over Auburn.
Whoa.
Love that.
Ryan Neubrenner.
Love that pick.
I think Auburn's a good team, but I remember the experience that Creighton gave Tennessee last year. Auburn's in for a 40-minute fight. So give me Creighton over Auburn, and then I'm going to save that game for my last one.
The headgear pick.
And then St. Mary's over Alabama.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't see that one.
St. Mary's over Alabama.
What made you conjure up that idea?
The orange.
It's not the orange. Alabama didn't look ready yesterday.
Wow. Okay.
They didn't look ready. St. Mary's has come into the tournament hot. I saw a stat during the Vanderbilt game. Their previous five halves, like 2.5 games, they were like 4 of 45 from 3-point range.
Really?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Honestly, might be onto something because St. Mary's actually plays defense.
Yeah.
St. Mary's is a big team.
Yeah.
And they play a lot of pick and roll.
So it might – listen, Wallman's on to something here. No, easy now. Don't
feeling
get too
myself.
Excited.
Feeling
what's
myself.
Now, what's
here.
Your last game? This is the thing.
Living your hopes and not your fears, Vol fans. Connor, let's meet in the Sweet 16, man.
Let's do it. Let's end a friendship. let's create a war for a whole week on Twitter. It'll be you,
me, and Parker,
and Kelly,
Parker Kelly versus
and,
you,
and Christian Skelton versus me, and that's it. I'm in a handicap matchup.
Well. I'll just be watching as a spectator with popcorn.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll have haters, too.
I feel like you may chime in.
I'll have haters, too, because Chase hates Kentucky. Joe likes to start trouble.
Joe Dubin? No.
Yeah, Joe Dubin.
No.
Never.
I could maybe recruit Joe Rexrode. Get him on my side.
You can recruit me.
I'll take you.
I'm in.
I'll take you.
I'm in.
There we go.
It's like playing recess football right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it is.
I'll hold my hand up. Pick me, please. No, I have my comments I've already made about the Vols game. Don't worry.
I think that's the one I'm most other than Arkansas and St. John's. I think that's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
The only bad thing about it is it's at 8:40.
I'll be here. I'll be doing a Preds game.
Like, I'm sitting around all day just.
Those are the worst.
Just waiting like on this game to start.
Like, and the anxiety boils up.
It's kind of like a home game a little bit for Tennessee because it's in Lexington.
Yeah. So, and I mean, Tennessee fans after that round of 64 game probably scooped up some tickets. with Louisville and Wofford dropping out. So
another example of people need to listen to me more. I had some friends that went up to Tennessee in Rupp. I said, get the ice cream. They did it. They said, this is life-changing. I said, you people.
I'll have to put that on my bucket list.
You need to listen to me.
I'm the most scoop, huh?
I'm underutilized talent. People need to listen to me.
Oh, boy.
I know I'm young, but, like, come on, man. Like, when someone knows what they're talking about, chances are they're probably right. So, mm-hmm.
Got that right.
I want talent utilized more. And that's not me clamoring for a promotion. That I promise. I'm happy where I am. That'll do it for us today on Forrest Company. We got plenty of action coming the rest of the day. Vanderbilt baseball coming on here pretty shortly. Preds in action tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs over in Bridgestone Arena. That dropped the puck at 6. I believe pregame begins at 5 with Max Herz and company. I'll be on the board, actually. As for us, enjoy the madness.
I'm ready.
I'm so ready. It's a big weekend. For Connor Newt, myself, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass. This has been Forrest Company on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
See ya!